If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway that's the best. Get your kicks on 66.
Well, who do you know today who finds adventure and excitement on Route 66? You know, for nearly 70 years, old Route 66 was a primary thoroughfare across much of the U.S. as auto and truck traffic rumbled from Chicago to L.A. and then back again. And today, most of that old road is more suitable to a slower pace and served as a portion of the route for an adventure we're going to talk about on today's edition of Focus on the Family. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson.
Well, about 1 week ago, Michael William Trout returned to the office here at Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs from a 3,150-mile bike ride, which is almost incomprehensible to me. Started on the West Coast with his back tire in the Pacific Ocean and rode all the way across the United States in 30 days, Mike?
Well, it was approximately 30 and one-half days of actually being on the bicycle, yes.
Yeah, and you spent nearly all of your trip on the bicycle. You didn't take many days off, did you?
We didn't, you know, and as I've reflected on things I would do differently about that adventure, I'd schedule in a lot more days off. You know, the Lord really knew what he was talking about when he said you needed
rest
a day
on
rest.
Sunday.
I would take at least one day a week.
And you wound up in Virginia Beach, 3,150 miles later.
That's right.
And we want to spend a little time talking with you today about your trip, because there are people all across the United States that saw you go by and were out there to wave at you and to ride along with you and to invite you to dinner at
night.
You made a lot of friends for this ministry on that trip, didn't you?
We met with thousands of people, and I did hundreds of radio interviews. I had a cellular phone with me and made phone calls throughout the day, every single day. I was usually up before anybody else making a phone call to some station on the East Coast when I was on the West Coast. It was a marvelous opportunity to shake hands and hug folks and talk with them and learn of their love of the Lord and their love for Focus on the Family.
Mike, they really did wait beside the road for you to come by. I have a photograph here. This is a family on the side of the road. Looks like the flattest place on earth, Tribune, Kansas.
That's right.
Keep pedaling for the Lord.
That's right.
Says, that's what that sign says.
They had made a sign and unrolled it there. They knew we were coming. They had heard an interview on the radio, and they just guessed at the time I would be moving through there. That's right on the border of Colorado and Kansas, and there isn't much out there. It is as flat as can be. That kind of thing happened time and time again. There are a couple of other pictures there of folks who knew we were coming through. Either they had heard you and I talking about it on the air here, or I had done an interview with the local radio station, and they had guessed at when we would be rolling through, and they waited and looked out their windows and worked in the yard, and then they would scurry out to the side of the street, and we'd get a chance to talk with them. And
just you stopped and talked to people?
Oh, absolutely. All the time. I mean, you just wouldn't ride by when somebody had waited for hours.
There are other photographs here. I just wish that we could share them with our listeners. I wish we could sit down and say, now, this one was well. In fact, I've got one in my hand now. Welcome to Leoti. Leoti, what?
It's actually Leota, Kansas.
Leota. It's L-E-O-T-I.
I know. Well, you know, it's like going through the bottom of Illinois, and it's Cairo, C-A-I-R-O, but it's Cairo. Or if you're in Colorado, you're riding along beside the Arkansas River. If you're in Kansas, that's the Arkansas River.
This particular photo that I was talking about is a marquee for KSKZ-FM 99.9 in Leota. And it says, Mike Trout, Focus on the Family, potluck at the Methodist Church. Grand opening, it says.
You know, we would come into town. We'd ridden 100 miles or 108 miles or 94 miles or whatever it was, and we were tired, and we'd been thinking about a hot shower, and we'd been thinking about dinner for the last hour.
I'll bet you, yeah.
That was all that was on our mind. And we'd see a sign like this, or it might be on the local Ace Hardware store, or it might be on the local gas station, welcoming us into town and encouraging people to join us. And then we'd hurriedly get cleaned up and run over to that church, the First Baptist Church, the First Methodist Church, whatever church it might be. And there would be a group of folks, maybe a dozen, maybe 200, maybe 400, waiting for us. And all of a sudden, we'd come alive again. And we'd laugh and we'd tell stories and people would ask questions and we'd just enjoy ourselves for another 2 or 3 hours.
Now, here you are in front of a restaurant called the Hog's Breath Saloon. Steaks and barbecue. Hog's breath is better than no breath.
Now, that wasn't a saloon. It's just carrying that title in their name. But we always sought out the local cafe, the place that looked like folks who lived there would spend time in.
Yeah.
And that was a great example of it. When we rode into town and we stopped at a gas station, or if we stopped at a little store, or if we stopped at a restaurant and walked in our biking outfit, which was, you know, tight pants and a special shirt brightly colored and the gloves and the helmet and all of that, we were an oddity. Hmm. And people would talk to us. They wondered, what in the wide world are these guys doing? If you just buzzed in your car and you got out in your regular clothes, people wouldn't know who you were. And it wasn't a conversation. But we wanted to talk with the local folks and find out a little history of the town and the background on their family. I was surprised. I know I shouldn't be, but I was surprised at the number of people who were familiar with this ministry and were familiar with you. And I'm not just saying that. It really took my breath away at times when we would say something about Focus. Oh, I know Focus on the Family. You're Mike Trout. I heard about that, or I read about that, and time again. Or maybe they didn't know anything about us, but they would open up about their family. Always the number one concern of people was their family.
Hmm. What was your toughest day?
Probably the toughest day from a ride perspective was from Knoxville, Tennessee to Asheville, North Carolina. And it was tough for a number of reasons. One, it was on a Sunday, and the day before, we had ridden into Knoxville, and we were supposed to get quite a bit further than Knoxville, but for a variety of reasons, we didn't make it any further than the outskirts of Knoxville. And so we were about 25 miles shorter than we had hoped to be on that day. And so we rode the next day from Knoxville, from the outskirts of the town, to Asheville, and we pedaled up and over the Appalachian Mountains there. And they don't do like the Rockies do, where you just kind of get up and get over them and come down the other side. They go on forever. And
up and down and up and down.
Up and down and up and down. And we went up over the Appalachian Trail, and folks who live in that area will know what I'm talking about. And the wind was so hard in our face, we had to pedal down the other side of the hill to go maybe 15 or 16 miles an hour. It was so discouraging.
And only 5 miles an hour up or so.
Oh, yes, 5.5, 6 miles an hour up. So physically, that was very difficult, and then emotionally, it was tough. But, you know, scripturally, in the book of James, it talks about the difficult times and how they build your faith and build you up, and don't be upset about those tough times. Well, if we had gone downhill the whole way,
you wouldn't appreciate the task.
We wouldn't appreciate it. We wouldn't be stronger for it. I mean, every day that I rode, I felt better. I felt stronger. I knew I could climb that hill a little quicker, a little easier. And it's because of the uphills, the more difficult times, that I grew stronger physically. And I think, you know, scripturally, that's what it's talking about as far as our faith is concerned.
Do you have any hail along the way?
We sure did. We had everything. You name it. You
know,
we
lightning?
We had lightning. We started out with tremendous heat. I think we talked about this on a previous broadcast. Tremendous heat in the Mojave Desert. It was 110 degrees and probably 130 or 140 degrees coming up off the pavement. That was tough. We got into Durango, Colorado, And we went through rain, and then we went through hail, and we spent about 2 hours riding in rain and hail. And at one point, we pulled off to the side of the road under an overhang just to get out of the water, and the wind was blowing a little bit. And so we were colder just standing there than if we were out in it riding. So we got back out in it and wondered, where in the world is this van? But we were in hail for about a half an hour. It snowed on the top of Wolf Creek Pass, which is where we crossed the Rocky Mountains, went up over the Continental Divide. And oftentimes the wind was in our face. That's probably the most disconcerting thing when you're riding.
Did you ever say, what did I do this for?
Mm.
What am I doing here?
Yeah.
Why am I out here on this road? I could be in Colorado Springs with my feet on my desk like usual when I don't have anything to do. That's kind of dirty.
I don't know if I asked myself that question, but a lot of other people asked me the question, and I didn't have a great answer for them. That probably was the most often asked question. Why did I do this? Why am I doing this? And I always told people, I wish I had a great answer. I don't have a great answer. It's an adventure. I'm going to be 50 this year. I was looking for an adventure. I found myself talking about things I used to do too often with friends, and I wanted to have something I would talk about now that I had done. And then my uncle had made the trip, Tom Guilfoyle, a couple of years ago in 1995, when he was 63, and I was intrigued by all of his stories and his pictures and how his adventure went. And you had told me I needed to take more vacation time. And, you know, all of those things just came together. My cardiologist had said, Mike, you need to exercise more. You've got some chemical imbalances with your cholesterol, and you need to do something that will correct that, help to correct that. And so you put all that together, and I said, I think I'll take a bike trip. And Brian said, well, I think I'll go along. And I thought that was a great idea.
I think it's marvelous, Mike. And it really did something for your own self-concept, didn't it?
As you tackle
a task of this size and stay with it and accomplish it, you feel good about yourself.
Well, you sure do. You sure do. My uncle said something to me that was more profound than I think either one of us knew when he said it. We were talking before I left on the trip, and I asked him about the difficulty of the travel.
Because he had done it.
Yes, he had done it, as I said, in 1995. And he said, well, you know, you begin at sea level and you end at sea level. Mm-hmm. And so for every up, there's a down. And as I was pedaling along about halfway through the trip, I reflected back on that. And the journey, because you're going, we averaged about 15 miles an hour. You're doing 100 miles a day. Because you're going along as that slow, the journey has a different feel than if you're in a car. It actually has the feel of eras. You have the desert time.
Yeah.
You have the mountain time. You have the plains time. You have this time. You know, and it has just
kind of a life's journey, isn't it?
It's exactly like that. We begin as dust. We're going to end as dust. And it seemed like a microcosm of a lifetime. And I thought, we're moving. And if I stay too long in one place, I miss the next adventure. Or if I don't go at all, I'll miss it completely. And how many of us have a dream, have something we want to do? Maybe it's not get on a bike and ride across the U.S. Maybe it's put our thoughts down in writing and see them published. Maybe it's record a song. Maybe it's, well, who knows what it is, but for 100 different reasons, we don't do it. And I thought, you know, perseverance is such a key ingredient. And I had, as you said, I had completed it. And it has changed me. It will forever give me a different perspective about future projects and opportunities and how I assess them and whether or not I decide I'm going to prepare for this and I'm going to go ahead and do it.
And I can do that.
That's exactly
I can do that.
Right. I can not only start it, I can finish it.
We're getting to the end of the program, Mike. You must tell the story of the Black Rocks.
Oh, that one stands out in my mind more than any other story. And it may not mean a lot to folks that are listening, but it sure did to us who were riding along. We had stayed in Ness City, Kansas. We were going through farm country, just field after field after field. And there was a berm of dirt on the right side of the highway as we were heading east. It was probably 15 feet high and about 100 to 150 feet long. And I'm not sure why it was there, but it was right at the edge of a field. In the midst of that huge area was spelled out with black rocks so that everybody could see who drove by. And I assume the farmer that owned that property did this. Jesus, pilot me. We rode by that and we stopped and we looked at it and we thought about, people don't make that kind of statement in so many different places in this country. But there it was. And we rode on that day and the weather got a little rougher. And we experienced some rain. And then the tornadoes started to crop up everywhere. And every time the van would stop, we'd pull up on our bikes and listen to the radio on the van. And reports like, if you're driving along on Highway 81 near such and such an intersection, get out of your car immediately and into the ditch. Tornadoes have been sighted touching the ground in that area. And we were just... I don't know why I get so emotional telling this story. We were just riding through, and the weather was everywhere, all around us. The clouds were incredibly dark, and we didn't see any tornadoes, but they were reported within just a few miles of where we were riding. And we finally rode into a town, and it began to hail, and we got into the van. It was late in the day, and we weren't going to ride any further, and just as we put the bikes away and got in the van, the hail turned into golf ball size droplets, and we were pelted for 15 or 20 minutes with this huge hail. Would have been devastating to us if we'd been out on the bike. And the weather reports of tornadoes and other severe wind problems continued throughout the evening. And I thought back on that sign that morning, and how the Lord had just piloted us right through the difficulty.
Yeah.
And He was guiding our hands. Every time someone asked us, how can we pray for you? I always said, pray for our safety. And He answered those prayers. I'll never forget that sign spelled out in huge black rocks, Jesus, pilot me.
Yeah. It's like the Lord gave you a little encouragement moment.
He sure did.
Well, Mike, we were talking to you by phone as you approached your final destination there at Virginia Beach. And we have a recording of that. We played it several days ago. But maybe it'd be good to end the program by letting people hear again what you were feeling and thinking as you approached the Atlantic Ocean. And again, you were very emotional, weren't you?
Well, I didn't think I would be. I remember that morning when we took off and we had just 83 miles to go that day. Seems like a lot, but we finished about 2:30 in the afternoon. I didn't think I was going to be emotional, but when the realization of the fact that we had actually done this, and you looked at a map and we'd gone all the way across. We didn't cheat one time. We rode every inch. It overwhelmed me, and the emotions got the better of me on several occasions.
Let's hear that interchange again as the final moments on this 3,150-mile trip were experienced by Mike Trout on his way to the beautiful blue Atlantic. Mike, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm here.
I just got a note on my desk, and I came running down here to the studio. It said that you were only 5 minutes away from the beach. Is that right?
It came quicker than I thought. Yes, we're down here, and we're at right in Virginia Beach, and we're probably two blocks away. We're going to turn the corner here up at a stoplight and try and find ourselves way down to the sand.
What an exciting moment. Are you emotional?
Well, I have been all the way in. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
I'll bet. After 3,000 miles, I just can't believe it.
Well, it's hard to imagine because you think back over all that you've done and you almost want somebody to say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Hey, there's a million people saying it to you right now, Mike.
Well, it's been a good day. We've had the Lord gave us some good weather, a great tailwind today. We just cruised, and the sun is shining. It's perfect time in the afternoon. Our families came in last night, so it just couldn't be a nicer conclusion to a very, very long trek. And I look forward to talking with you about it in much greater detail and sharing some of the fun stories.
Can you see the beach from where you are right
now? I sure can. I sure can. We've got it. We even have a police escort here.
Hey, it's an exciting moment, and I'll say it to you. Well done, my friend.
Hey, thank you. I can't wait to tell you all the folks who said to say hi and give you a hug on your neck. It's just been a great time. So,
come on home, Mike.
All right. I'll show you the slides.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
So long. I wish I could have been with you at that moment, Mike. That must have been incredible. Did you actually wade out into the Atlantic there
sure
on the
did.
Beach?
We sure did. I wish I'd been on the phone when the waves were lapping up over my knees. But we took the front tire and we put it in the Atlantic Ocean, and then we just stood there. There were hundreds of people at the beach. You know,
were there really?
I can't tell you what it was like to have those folks come up to us. When we got to the Atlantic and Virginia Beach, now, Virginia Beach is a big place, and we didn't specify where we were going to be, so people looked a long time to find us. I had one lady who just came up, wrapped her arms around me, and wept. Just
is
wept.
That right?
You guys
is
are
you
here.
Really?
We love you. And I just, you know, that it was so special, and we were so honored by all of the people that we talked
that
to.
That is always so uplifting. That's mm-hmm. what keeps us going month after month. Is the affection that people show toward us.
Right.
You know what, Mike? I don't fully understand that. I really don't. I'm not trying to be humble here. You know, there are a lot of television programs and a lot of radio programs. I understand people being interested in what we do and being helped by what we do. I don't fully understand the love that we get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come up to us on the street. They hug us. People I never saw, people I don't know, mm-hmm. and some of them have mm-hmm. tears in their eyes. When they talk about going through a family crisis and,
right.
and Focus on the Family was there for them. But there's a great deal of intimacy between what we do here in this studio and in this ministry and the people who are the recipients of it. They pray for us. I hear over and over again that people pray for us every day. I got to tell you a story, mm-hmm. Mike. Shirley and I were in Washington, D.C. not too long ago, and we were flying back, and we landed in Denver, and I was really tired. We'd been at it since early that morning, and I was really anxious to get in the car and drive to Colorado Springs and get back. And as I was getting off the off-ramp, I saw a man coming toward me from my left. I love meeting people. There's sometimes when you're tired, though, and I
That's
was tired
right.
on that
oh,
night.
Yes.
And I turned to greet him, and he just came up and shook my hand, and he said, "Dr. Dobson, I just want you to know that I pray for you every day of my life." And I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what my name is. I just want you to know I'm out there praying for you." You know, and that is that's the lifeblood of this ministry.
Oh,
and I know you felt it all along this way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure glad to have you back, Mike.
Thank you.
We missed you during those 31 days that you were gone. I thought Steve Kelly, who filled in for you as an announcer, did an outstanding job.
He did.
Didn't you?
He's
a lot of people
great
have
friend.
Called to say that he did a good job, and they enjoyed having him bring the program on the air and take it off.
I had many, many comments, almost too many, as a matter of fact, from folks as I was out traveling across the U.S. saying how much they appreciated you.
Let me take this opportunity to say how much I enjoy working with you.
Thank you.
We have been working together for more than 10 years now, and you just seem to read my mind and know the questions to ask to allow me to express what I'm trying to say. And we really have developed a style and a friendship here in the studio that I think is God-ordained, and he sent you here. And let's go for another 10, what do you say?
I'd be happy to do that.
Do you have plans for an encore
you know
on
what?
Your trip?
I don't want to do exactly the same thing, but maybe I'll do another adventure of a different sort somewhere.
Can
down
I go
the
with
road.
You?
Yes, you sure can.
You didn't
can.
Invite me on this one. I walk on the treadmill almost as far as you rode on
I
your
know
bicycle.
You do. I know you do. Well, we'll plan something and maybe involve some of our listeners in it in a year or two. You know, I get down to the end of the broadcast here and always express appreciation to those who have helped us pull all the details together. I have been remiss in not mentioning several people who helped with the bike trip. Donna Lewis and Karen McQuiston here in the office. Donna is my secretary. Karen is a part of our media staff. They handled the thousands of inquiries from radio stations and other folks who wanted to be a part of our trip, and I appreciate all of their hard work. It just would not have happened without them. And then Ted Kildall, my father-in-law, who drove the van, the support vehicle that went along with us, and Steve Halliday, who was also in the van. Steve and I are working on a book project that will be out in February of 1998, chronicling much of the adventure that we have just gone through on this bike trip. And then Brian, my son-in-law, who became an even closer friend during these 30-plus days as we pedaled along together. And our wives, Nancy, my wife, and Amy, our daughter, and Brian's wife, who allowed us to take this incredible trip and kept the home fires burning. Also, our producer for the broadcast, James Werning. Engineering and production have been handled by Brian Cooper and John Dorick. Our executive producer is Bobby Valentine. Our host is Dr. James Dobson, and I'm Mike Trout. Looking forward to having you back when we'll again turn our hearts toward home.